This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Adrian, I got this beer that's freaking fantastic.
Oh, what is it?
Brotherhood Steam. It's from Anchor Steam up in San Francisco, but it's in conjunction with Golden State. It's really good.
What style of beer is it?
It just says a dry hopped ale.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't really tell. It kind of tastes like just a lager with hops. I'd have to double check and look up to see exactly what it is. But it's got this trippy wizard dude on it who's got an owl on his shoulder.
I really appreciate good graphic design and beer labels.
You would love this can. It's like it's black on the top and then copper on the bottom and stuff. So it kind of looks like a Duracell battery. It's pretty awesome. Anyways, I guess we should start the podcast.
Otherwise, we'll keep going and going and going.
Yeah, exactly. That's perfect. All right, well, I guess that'll probably end up in the episode. That'll be the cold open. Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Lucha Undead. Get to know the PTBN PWO Core 4 edition, I guess. We got Brad. Brad, I don't even know what last name is technically correct because I've heard you called different things.
I have multiple ones. You know, you have to have a shoot name, and then I have my different work names that I use across the internet. But it's really great to be here, guys. I am really looking forward to sitting down and kind of talking about Place to Be Nation and what you guys are a part of course, and kind of what we've built. So it'll be good.
And so am I speaking out of turn, or I don't know, telling secrets? I don't even know the sayings for this. When I say that you're considered one of the core four, is that correct?
Yeah, I'm the owner and operator, I would say, between so the initial thing was kind of, you know, Justin and I got together, and we'll talk more about it, but I would say I manage and run the site, and we have quite a few people that have some responsibilities with that really help Justin and Chad and I out. But I think from an idea standpoint, the three of us are probably all on the same page. I do a lot of the relationship management pieces. I probably have like 400 Facebook chats. Like everybody that runs through the site or their, you know, different ideas and things like that is usually coming through me and kind of managing that process and kind of the talent that we have. So,
yeah, you're kind of I always kind of consider you the big boss, even if, you know, I don't know exactly who is, but that's usually.
No, you're not wrong. Yeah, we can go with that. Yeah.
All right, we'll stick with it. So yeah, I know that I try not to bother you, and I have Adrian send you the file so that he has to deal with your ire.
Never a bother, trust me.
But so getting into that, you started from the beginning. I mean, I've been weirdly piecing the story of PTBN out, right, as it goes along. I guess I should ask. I'm supposed to ask this early on. Are you now, or have you ever been a member of the PWO board?
It's a good cold open, right? It's funny because I used that on someone else that we're working on a project that's going to be out by the time the show comes out. And really smart guy, Peter, and I was like, are you on PWO? And it kind of flashed me back to, I need to make sure you are. No, I am on PWO. I've been on PWO since around June 2013. And my username there is Brad Hindsight. And the reason for that name, which is a little bit regrettable, was that I used to have a column that I wrote for Scott Keith's blog that was Captain Hindsight's whatever. And it was kind of like, you know, looking back with 2020. I thought it was really clever. It was before South Park did it, too. Not that it was the first person to ever use that type of name, but then South Park came out, and I was like, oh, that's cool. I can't really use that anymore. So that's my forum handle over there. And you can find, Place to Be Nation links and creds and stuff in there in my signature. So.
And Brad Hindsight kind of works the same like Brad Attitude in the CWF. It's kind of a play on words where it almost sounds like Bad Hindsight. As if, like, you don't...
You know, let's
you're
roll
not able
with that.
To, you can't take
I like
things.
That.
Yeah, so it'd be a nice... you could do a nice kind of, I guess, storyline to the article, or I guess, tinge to the article that it's, like, a guy who still can't even, like, understand what was going on, even with the reflection of hindsight being 2020. Still doesn't quite get things or put stuff together. So you were part of the original, like, the, I guess... What was it? Started out on RSPW or started out on DVD VR, I guess. I'm trying to put it all together because I've like I said, I'm kind of getting the pieces from everybody as we go. I know that there was the live journal eventually and then kind of went away from that. So you were on the ground floor of all that stuff, correct?
I wasn't actually. So I'm a little bit so Justin and some of the guys who I'm good friends with now, they kind of had their whole CWO live journal thing that split from Scott Keith. I actually found the Place to Be podcast through Scott Keith's blog of Doom. I had only listened to one other podcast before, and it was Steve Carino and Rob Dimensions. And I'm pretty sure, Timothy, you mentioned that was like the first one you ever listened to, too. Am I wrong in that story?
Yeah, no, that was one of the first ones that I listened to, and I remembered it because it was during the time when I was trying to find as many wrestling podcasts as possible. And Carino was one of the first guys who was like, hey, I remember this guy. I really liked him as a wrestler. I remember him. And D'Lo Brown ended up on Fitzdog's podcast coming out of Florida, which I think it was like called Get in the Ring or Over the Top Rope, one or the other. But they were like the first two wrestlers that were on a podcast kind of thing. And it wasn't even like big, you know, a big deal. They just happened to be guys who were like, oh, I remember that. And so, yeah, that was like two of the first that I remember listening to when I was trying to find as much wrestling content out there. So that's kind of gotcha. What got started as well.
Yeah, I found it through. I mean, I knew who Steve was, but they're both kind of Philly guys. They're really into the Phillies, and I was too. And Dimension did like some video game stuff. And so like he and I kind of crossed paths on Twitter. And then I was like, oh, you know, I'll listen to the show. And it was cool because I knew about Ring of Honor, was a fan. And so that's when Steve was pretty active. I remember like vividly when they were talking about like his match with Steen from Final Battle. Yeah, so that was my first exposure to the podcast. I mean, I just listened to it through the web. But anyway, so then I found the Place to Be podcast, and that's kind of where everything started. It took me a couple episodes. They were great. You know, I had to kind of get the idea of like the banter in the beginning. I was like really into like let's get right to the, you know, these Attitude Era reviews. And at that time, we still kind of had that ingrained thinking I've had for like 10 years before that, kind of, you know, being a big fan in the late 90s in the Attitude Era and kind of still learning how to think a little bit more critically about wrestling and kind of change my views and take them for myself. But I really like the show a lot. And so, I was coming off of being in WrestleMania in Miami and was going again to 29 because it's only, you know, a couple hours from where I live outside Philadelphia. And so they had a big get together, and I was like, you know what? I've been listening to the show for about a month. Like, I really like the Kevin Kelly shows and the stuff they and all the interviews they were doing were fantastic too. And so I was like, I want to go meet these guys. So my buddy and I went, and we met him. We had a great time. We had tailgate, got to meet Chad, and then that's kind of what put it in motion. So I'm technically from like the Scott Keith branch, but more of in like 2013 was probably when I found them.
Oh. Okay, so you came through Scott Keith, so you're still – that's where everything started to begin with. Anyways, you splintered off later. You didn't join the initial splinter faction, I guess.
Yeah, right. Correct. But they pulled me out when they had already had their own thing, so I kind of joined the group a little bit later, but pre-site though.
But still, it ended up kind of being a big deal having you come on because, like you said, you do so much for the website and – I mean,
The idea was that, I'd had some things changed at work and I was looking to move into something else and it didn't happen. And it was kind of something where like, I was pretty comfortable in my job and I knew I had, and again, it was really passionate and I felt these guys were really passionate too. And I felt they had really something that was unique. Right. And that was kind of always been the goal of the site and our feeds is like, you know, I don't want like the old black webs, you know, dark black website with, you know, white letters and, you know, the music's fine, but you know what I mean? Like kind of those stereotypical like wrestling smarky websites. Like, and I felt like these guys had like some really cool stuff like this interview with JJ Dillon and this stuff they have with Kevin Kelly. Like no one else has this information. And like, what can we do to promote it? So after I met with them, like it really had the juices going with it. And I had done some work before for some other sites, not really wrestling related, more in the games. And so like I knew how like CMS systems work. And I was kind of like, well, you know, we should do a site that's just built around like this podcast and just promoting and kind of building it. Cause like they talked about doing it and I felt like there was an opportunity there to push something that was unique. It wasn't like duplicative out there. I didn't feel like it was, you know, so I thought it was so that's when I reached out to Justin and came up with a plan. And, you know, we moved pretty fast from there to get things up and running. You know, we launched on June 1st, 2013, and we went from just being about the Place to Be podcast to kind of being like a mini Grantland. And that fit what they did before, because they they recorded at least twice a week, and they were doing sports and they were doing pop culture stuff too. So that was a part of what Justin and Scott brought to it. So Justin was kind of like, you know, maybe we can do like a mini Grantland thing. And he had a couple of different people. And so we were like, okay, we'll make that the scope with our heavy focus and be really good in wrestling and trying not to be, trying to be different in the other areas, because there's so much out there for it. And that's really what the goal was, the start.
Yeah, because I know for me, on the, like you said, from the outside looking in, before I was a member of the website, and I mean, I've said it, but full disclosure, it was like, I told Adrian probably a year before the podcast officially was on the site, like, I want to be on that, on Place to Be. Like, that was the goal. I wanted to work to try to get the show on there. And, you know, it's not, I'm not trying to headline WrestleMania or be on podcast one, but I'm, you know, I'm building something, that's what I'm going to do. And I was looking, sure, and I kept trying to think of stuff, and I was like, you know, they always say sports and pop culture, but I'm like, I don't see a lot of pop culture shows, you know?
Right, and that's
how it was. And so I was like, I was trying to put stuff together with Adrian, because me and Adrian did like a comedy interview, joke around podcast with a bunch of our friends. And we got to a good point where I was able to host with a panel of like rotating five people, but usually about five people plus the guests. And I was able to host and keep control of the thing, so it didn't turn into a complete zoo all the time, right? And so I got good at kind of this whole thing, this, you know, leading a podcast, talking to people, doing the whole thing. But I was like, they should have more stuff that talks about pop culture. So that was the idea. I'm like, well, what can I do? And there was a point where I was like, I'm going to do a podcast review show where I review podcasts because I listen to so many. I was like, oh, okay, you know. And then Adrian and me, and I was like, well, we'll do Lucha Undead. We put it together, and it's, well, it's part wrestling, but it's also part, you know, sci-fi, and then that'll fit in. But then it was just like, well, whatever. So finally, I was just like, you know what? I am a huge fan of podcasts. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to interview the people who do these podcasts, because they never talk about anything but what, you know, the topic is, which is why you love them. But half the time, I'm always like, who is this guy? Where is he coming from? What's his deal? And then the other thing was beer. Me and Adrian were both, you know, I had been a growing beer fan, and Adrian had as well, you know, he was starting to get into it. And I was like, well, we like beer. So at that point I was just like, fuck it. You know, we're just going to do what we want to do. So what we're going to do, these essentially two diametrically, not even opposed, but two just totally different shows, and run them on the same feed and do the whole thing. And then that's when I email you and I'm like, listen, your podcast network is supposed to be about pop culture and different culture. And I'm like, well, beer culture is a thing and you need to like have it represented. So we're getting on the network. And I just thought it was so great that you were like, oh yeah, I was actually going to email you about this in a few days anyways.
And I was being sincere with that. You know, some people can, you know, they can work it or whatever, and, you know, and not be, you know, honest there, but I really was, because you're right. So, you know, with the pop culture elements, the one thing that we were going to bring, it was like, all right, so I want to find guys on the site that are really passionate about it. Like, yeah, there's a lot of comic stuff, but our comics guys are really, really good. You know, we used to have, we didn't do straight reviews, because you could find a million straight reviews, but you would have somebody like Josh Richer that would write like 2,000 words about like the Valentine's Day movie. And it was like really unique and like fun to read. And I'm like, I like this kind of writing, so we're going to roll with it. You know, it's tough, you know, to find, especially with such a focus on wrestling, to be able to kind of build that staff to it. But, you know, we tried some different things with it. We did a lot of group things. We found our strength was in utilizing our staff and doing group pieces around, like, you know, either ranking Christmas movies or things like that. And then from an audio standpoint, you know, we had all these talented guys that were doing comics and other stuff. And then the audio started to build up on the Place to Be feed, and people had different ideas. And that's when, like, right before you came to me was when I told Justin and Chad and said, you know, I'm going to start a pop culture feed that's going to be everything else. We need to get them into their own feed where we can market it. You know, not everyone that likes comics likes wrestling, right? And vice versa. And so, yeah, so this show was a great fit into it. And I love the beer stuff too, because, you know, I don't know anybody else that has this stuff. I'm sure they're out there, but I think it's just a nice kind of flavor to kind of mingle in. And I think we have a pretty good schedule going right now. And you've seen, you know, we're trying some different things. I've got some other people lined up for some projects and some other stuff that I'm actually going to be launching myself very, very shortly for it. And it's kind of, you know, it's growing well. So definitely happy that you guys are aboard and everything you do to help push it too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And, you know, there was a really good beer podcast that I really enjoyed called Beer Snobs. And they were based in Southern California as well. And they did three buddies hanging out, and they would do blind taste tests, intentionally blind so that they would not know, you know, they wouldn't lean towards anything. And that show just kind of disappeared. And I know it was like connected to someone from Beer Quest, which is an awesome website. It's a resource for finding different beers in your area and stuff like that. So that was kind of part of it too. I was like, man, I really liked that show, and it's just gone now. And it's like, who is like fit? And it's a tough, I'm not even going to lie, it's a tough show to do. I don't know, Adrian, what you think, but doing the beer show has been kind of difficult because how do you keep it interesting and talk about different stuff? We're trying to mix it up and joke around and kind of be lighthearted at places. But when you're reviewing beers, it does start to feel tedious because you're talking about the same stuff. Luckily, we're both really passionate about it. So I hope that comes through to people. But I also, when you're talking there and you're talking about the feeds getting clogged, I almost want to bring it up, and I probably should bring it up, or I will bring it up on the other side, is I know that there's something behind the fact that there was already two split feeds before the PTBN pop happened. So if you don't mind, what went into the feed splitting to begin with, where you had kind of like, I mean, This Week in Wrestling, another show that I'm on, you got Between the Sheets, you've got, you know, Where the Big Boys Play, Titans of Wrestling, and then on the other side, you've got Place to Be and these other shows. What was it that ended up being like, what was the idea behind splitting up those kind of shows and curating the two different feeds?
Yeah, you know, and it wasn't anything, I would say, originally deliberate. What it was, and it's a great question, and I'd say I probably get that one a lot. And in the beginning, it was something I really had to kind of talk through with people that didn't understand, too, like why we didn't put them all together. And one was mainly for space. And second was to kind of divide up different subjects. Although, as we'll probably talk about, there's some things that could have gone either way. But mainly what it was that, you know, Chad and Parv, is, you know, as close to the core four and the, you know, the leadership group we have as possible. And so they had Where the Big Boys Play, which was the other podcast that we built. So when we went to put the site together, we talked about what we were going to do. We're like, okay, we had Place to Be, and I got to meet Chad in person, who's a good friend of mine. And he had just done his, he did a podcast. People can look it up. It's on the website. It was, he was there live for the Finger Poke of Doom. I don't know if you've ever listened to this one, Tim, from the 1499 show from the Georgia Dome. So he had, they did a PTB episode where they talked through that night in general, cause Justin was at the taped Raw. It was a great show. And so I just heard it before I went to the tailgate. And then I heard his accent and realized that Chad had, you know, come up from Georgia for this. So I spent most of the tailgate talking to him. I learned about his show, Where the Big Boys Play, which I wasn't familiar with as of then. And I dove into that and really liked it and really liked Parv and got to meet him. So they had their own feed. And what happened was Parv actually had it hosted through something over in his neck of the woods, and not the university, but some kind of thing. And like, they just could not handle the bandwidth of that show, so that we had to make a decision in the summer. And so they built a SoundCloud, which is the SoundCloud that the PWO PTBN network uses today. And so that was the only show on it. And then the first show that I could think of that grew organically out of the site was Titans of Wrestling. You know, we had other shows that we were promoting, but they weren't necessarily on the feed. Like Place to Be was, that was one feed, and then Where the Big Boys Play, and then Titans of Wrestling was really the first one where we kind of did a new launch of this brand new show, and that was on that feed too. And then as the months went on, you know, we were very ingrained with PWO, and then that's when the name started to happen. I'm trying to remember exactly when we switched the name over to the feed, but I know we were really talking about it pretty regularly. But that's why that was the split there. So it was their feed and there was ours. And then as they both grew, we just realized from a space standpoint, like, does someone really want to get like, two new shows a day or three new shows a day? And we should really try to keep this separate. PWO, PTBN a little bit more for the hardcores. But not all the time, though. We have some really good, you know, definitely hardcore shows on the other feed, too. So there wasn't really any science around it other than that's kind of what we had in place, and it stuck.
Yeah, and it works. I think there's a cohesion between the shows that are on one feed as opposed to the other. some of it is, you know, like it's Chad and it's Parv being on shows, and it's also the personalities, and as weird as it is, it's like you've got Scott and Justin on Place to Be, who are definitely lighthearted and joke around, and then you've also got like Johnny Sorrow on Titans of Wrestling and This Week, and he's also lighthearted and jokes around, but it's in ways that are so different that it almost makes sense that they're on two different feeds.
Sure.
Does that make sense? Like, even people that who are analytical but also kind of jokey and comedy and lighthearted are so different that they fit on two different worlds. Well, Brad, I think we're going to take a quick break and listen to some ads from the Place to Be Nation. So we can listen to all the other shows, and then we'll get right back into maybe talking into some programming history and some shows that would have been or were or short-lived and stuff like that.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Voice of Ring of Honor's Kevin Kelly here. I want to make sure you're subscribed to all of our great feeds here at Place to Be Nation. Just head to iTunes today and search and subscribe to the Place to Be podcast feed, the PWO PTBN feed, PTBN Pop, and of course the Kevin Kelly Show feed, which includes the full archives of my podcast. Some really great stuff. Subscribe, listen, and then rate us and leave feedback today. Thanks for being a fan of professional wrestling. More importantly, thanks for being a fan and supporter of the Place to Be Nation.
All right, we're back. So I know we were going to get into some stuff, but really quick, I have a dumb question for you guys. You guys mentioned the Attitude Era. Is that like in wrestling how it is in comic books, where there's the Bronze Age, the Silver Age, the Golden Age, or what is that exactly? How many eras are there? You know, what do they represent?
Well, I mean, I want to defer to Brad. Brad, let me... Let's hear your take on what do you think the Attitude Era means and, like...
Well, I think your analogy is right. I think there definitely is. I think you're right into that analogy. I think of when I was big in the comics, just kind of like the Marvel mid-90s, like the X-Men reboot was really like the first one like that I was really into, and everything they had going on right then. And yeah, I mean, because when you think about the Attitude Era, went from, I would say, late 96... to, you know, mid 2002, end of 2002, maybe Mania 2002, so like mid year. So yeah, I mean, it's a 6-year thing. So I think it's, you know, wrestling is a little bit more condensed compared to, you know, I think the classic era of wrestling would go back to the 50s, 60s, and then I would say the 70s kind of has their own thing, and then, and sometimes really, Adrian, too, what we do is, you know, I'm sure you know who Hulk Hogan is. A lot of people look at wrestling as, you know, before Hulk won the title in the WWF and after. And that's really how even I looked at it when I first became a fan, was like nothing before that like interested me at all. And I wasn't the Hulkamaniac or didn't even get into wrestling until it was considerably later in my teens. But like that's just kind of how I always thought about it. Tim, I don't know what you think, but like that's always kind of been like the AD and BC marker is like Hulk winning the title.
Yeah, and even to extend that, I believe in those moments, and sometimes I would rather lend towards serendipity just so that things can be a little bit more, I guess, artistic. And so when you say the Hogan title win kind of demarks the change of the eras, I do the same thing with the Attitude Era based on Stone Cold Steve Austin. So I really consider the start of the Attitude Era when Stone Cold wins the belt from Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania to when Stone Cold has his last match with The Rock. And in a lot of ways, I think the match that follows that at on WrestleMania, the main event match is Brock Lesnar versus Kurt Angle in a match that I really think signified what then became the Ruthless Aggression era, when you have these two guys who, I don't know if there's too many other guys other than, I guess you could say Chris Benoit, but other than Brock Lesnar and Kurt Angle that really kind of exemplified what that Ruthless Aggression era was, the high work rate, kind of intense, strong style, almost wrestling being popularized in WWE. So that's, for me, that's the way I've looked at it, and just like you said, it's like the Hogan title win is a big deal, and then the Hogan title loss kind of, and then there's, you know, there's a new era, and people consider it a new generation. Eventually, The Rock builds up to there, and Mankind, and then Austin's in and out, but that's the way I've always looked at it. So, realistically, Adrian, the thing about stuff like the Attitude Era, or the New Generation, or even, like I said, Ruthless Aggression, or the Reality Era, or whatever they're calling it now, is that it almost doesn't exist or have a name until after it's over. And you have to kind of take that 40-yard, you have to take that Brad hindsight and and look at it in the rear view and say, like, oh, that time was this thing.
Right.
You know? And it's almost impossible to really know that you're in it when you're in it.
Right. No, I find that interesting because, like I said, I've heard you mention it. I just never really understood what that meant. But it's interesting to know that there was, like, certain matches that you say that sort of ushered in the new era and stuff. So it almost makes it, like, adds to the whole thing of it being like a story, because, you know, characters and wrestling and all that is all about telling a story, obviously. So I was just curious about that. So I find that really interesting. Thanks for enlightening me on that.
Well, yeah, sure. Let me ask you a follow-up, Adrian. So when do you think commercially comics were the most successful and made the most money?
Oh, I mean, I've only recently started getting into comics, so I honestly couldn't really. I'm not really qualified to answer that, but from what I've sort of heard and read, that there was a certain age where, like, the Silver Age was considered like a really good age, and then, like, after that, it was like it sort of changed. Like, it was like darker, grittier stories, and I'm not really sure what the age we're in now. But commercially, I really couldn't tell you like when it changed.
Well, yeah, and where it was leading there was, and that's really the other thing that goes with the Attitude Era, is just the ratings, and with ratings back then were huge deals, and it came to, you know, TV deals and money and what wrestlers were paid and whatnot. And so commercially it was at its peak during that era too, which is why I sometimes look back on finally, more so for that than maybe creatively, because, I mean, you're gonna ride the train that's bringing you all this money. So that's why I was trying to draw an analogy there. I'll have to ask some of our other comics guys about what they think about that kind of comparison.
Yeah, and it's interesting to think that, like, every form of entertainment has their, like, eras. Like, movies have it, music has it, wrestling has it, like, everything has it. You know, you don't always think about it, but it does exist, you know?
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, time's not static, Adrian.
Apparently not.
But when you talked about wrestling telling stories, Brad, I think there was a story that you wanted to tell. I was going to ask, I think I remember, I was going to ask someone else, and they told me that you specifically told them you would rather tell me the story, and I think it was the background and everything that happened with the Still Real to Us show. Because that show, I felt like, was on PTBN for only, like, a couple months, and then it was on the ad breaks forever when it was gone from the network for a long time. So I remember I kind of would get into the show. Sometimes it felt like it wasn't the perfect fit for Place to Be Nation, but it was different. Well, and so what happened there?
Yeah, so you kind of had the right feel with it. So when we started the site, and to be fair, that stuff was more like 2014 to 2015. But I'll backtrack just a second. When we started the site, you know, we had the content that we created in-house, but then we had shows that existed elsewhere, like the Kings of Sport, who we've had in and out, and we still work with Nate regularly. He's fantastic. We'll always be affiliated with them. And we had other shows like Answering the 10 Count and Off the Top Rope. And these were hosted elsewhere, but they were kind of just promoted on our site and were part of our site's feeds. And so as we built into 2014, we really got, you know, so we had laid the groundwork for the site. We busted our asses for 6 months, and then we started creating. And so the Kevin Kelly Show, PTBN's main event, we had brought on Goodwill Wrestling at Comeback Wrestling with the Past. I had recruited my butt off and got Wrestling Culture to come over. Titans of Wrestling was picking up. So we had a lot of great shows, and they were all in-house. And then what happened with that show was that was really like the last one where there was a time when the Kevin Kelly Show had portions of it sponsored by WrestleChat, and WrestleChat, who is the Still Real to Us show, like, that's like their home site. They would promote the Kevin Kelly Show on their website occasionally. So and so that was kind of the reciprocal agreement, was they would do that. We would promote them on the podcast. And then they came to us with a sports show, the Bauer Show, and the Still Real to Us show, and kind of pitched us, like, putting them on there. And there were probably some things that I would have liked to see. Like, I remember there was a piece of real estate on their website that I felt was like really defunct. And I was like, why don't you let me, you know, have this? And they wanted some different things. So that never really worked out. So then really what it was that this content was going on and we were publishing it and kind of making sure it had to be at certain times and whatnot. We really weren't getting a lot out of it. So at that point, it kind of became, like you said, it didn't really feel like it fit. And I felt like we weren't at a stage where we had shows like that anymore, which is why you won't see that on the site anymore. I mean, very rare. If they are, there's a reason for it, I could tell you. But so that's what happened to it. And they were cool. They had given us an opportunity. Nothing ever went with it. But we had some of our sports programs were set to kind of join a live radio stream. And we had done some of the paperwork and stuff with that. But I think the guy that set it up, he failed through. Like, I'm sure you guys have seen it before with some of even the podcasts you mentioned before. The easiest thing to do on the internet is quit stuff. You know, everybody has an idea, which is one of the reasons why I'm really proud. And I know all of us are really proud about PTBN being 4 years old, because it would have been easy. You know what I mean? Like, it's always easy to reboot or to shut down or something came up. And like, you know, we're still going strong, which is probably more than can say for a lot of other shows and sites.
Yeah, no, definitely. And, as you got into that, you mentioned something that I didn't even remember or know, which is kind of crazy, which was you said Answering the 10 Count was involved in Place to Be Nation. Yeah. And that was a show that I listened to from the beginning. Yeah, and I don't remember it ever being on Place to Be Nation.
Well, so we weren't doing a good job of marketing it through. So what they were was, so Callum, interesting enough, was really a huge part of the first year of Place to Be Nation. And he was actually the first person where we could really say, like, and he said it was very nice, but he's a hard worker. He had moved on to like a paid gig with MMA, and he did MMA, did the Grapple Talk podcast, and kind of in tow with Grapple Talk was this Answering the 10 Count show. Again, another one where, the guys were cool. I don't necessarily think it fit like what we wanted to do from like a wrestling podcast, but it was kind of like an after dark thing. It was like a Saturday night thing that we put on the site. It didn't interrupt their feed or anything, so you're probably still listening as normal. But Callum was really involved in the site, and actually he has two huge things that we'll always remember for. One, in the first 3 weeks of the site, he did an interview with a UFC wrestler who had some complaints about pay and equal pay, something we've kind of heard about with CM Punk after his fight. And we got some quotes from it, and I remember him sending me a message like, I just had this really great interview, like, there's some really like serious shit in here. So we wrote it up, and the quotes were legit, and it got picked up by ESPN. So in the first month of our existence, there was actually a link to the article on Place to Be Nation on an ESPN MMA article. So we thought that was pretty cool. We thought, like, man, we're gonna make it, man, this is a big deal, look how big we are. And he actually I did some credential work for him, and he actually went to a UFC event and covered it as a credentialed reporter for Place to Be Nation later on in the year. So those are two cool things that I was glad we could do for him. And then he went on to a paid gig, and I think he does esports announcing now and some stuff with British wrestling. But that was our tie into Callum and them. Eventually we just, like I said, didn't feel like it was a great fit for what we were looking to do. And it probably, again, it's tough when it's on its own feed, and maybe there were different projects that we were working on that wasn't promoted as well and whatever. And so we had some talks about like where, you know, we were going as a site and didn't really feel like it would fit as well. And it's a shame too, because the Grapple Talk podcast went in the deal when he left, and we were happy for that to happen to him. But he had a really cool idea there, and I thought it was a really good show. It was one of my favorite ones we had.
Yeah, no, and I actually remember all of that stuff. I just didn't know his affiliation with Place to Be at the time. That's so weird to me that it just kind of didn't even think of it, because I remember that article getting picked up, the interview, all of that stuff. I remember the Grapple Talk podcast. I don't remember if I ever even listened to the Grapple Talk podcast actually at all.
He had like a Grapple Talk like vintage vault spinoff thing where like they would review old UFCs in order, and they were super popular. That's probably the one show that I got more requests like asking like when it was coming back, like a year after it had stopped doing it. You just didn't have the time for it, but it was pretty popular.
Yeah, I bet it was, because I mean at the time, especially at that time, UFC was pretty popular in general.
It was huge, yeah.
Yeah, so someone needs to do that, but for old prides, I think, right now. So if anyone's listening to this who's got the time, they should do a retro pride podcast, because that'll probably get a lot of listens and a lot of connections, or not connections, but a lot of hits, I guess.
Sure.
I guess we should. I feel like we should take another break, Adrian. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense to me, Tim.
All right, let's take one more break. We'll come back, or this will be. We'll take another break, and we'll come back, and we'll. I don't even know what we're gonna get into next. I guess we'll try to figure out more about Brad. Maybe get to know Brad.
Yeah.
All right.
I'll have a question for Brad.
Let's do
when
it.
Come back.
All right.
Yeah, I'd like to do that.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rizzuto here. In addition to the archives of The Kevin Kelly Show, we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. And we now offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place to Be podcast feed, you can check out Scott Criscolo and me on the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast, with our famous vintage vault pay-per-view reviews. PTBN also covers current-day wrestling with clotheslines and headlines, main event, Mission Indie Possible, in our monthly pay-per-view reaction shows with immediate feedback on WWE, NXT, and Ring of Honor Super Shows. Relive Wrestling's Past with our monthly pay-per-view rewind series led by Ben Morse and the Dangerous Alliance Wrestling podcast as we dive into various subjects in the form of exercises and games. All of this in addition to Scott Keith's Podcast of Doom, which includes discussions on questions from listeners, as well as current day and old school wrestling. We also have sports covered too with the Sports Lounge, the TJ McClune Show, and NBA Team Podcast. On our brand new PTB Pop podcast feed, we offer great shows such as the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, Rank and File, Lucha Undead, as well as a veritable podcast heaven for comics fans with the Hard Traveling Fanboys, Sellers Points, Todd Weber's Conversation, and Imaginary Stories. Subscribe to both feeds on iTunes and be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All these shows are available on PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus tournaments and more. Be sure to check out the right-hand side of the site for details on how to support the site when you shop at Amazon and download our free Place to Be Vintage Vault Refresh ebooks. We also want to thank our friends at Bonehead's Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island and Fall River, Massachusetts, and Scott Keith's Blog of Doom. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
All right, so, Brad.
Yes, sir.
I just recently, spoke with Scott about maybe a headache. I think there's unfortunately, I think there's still some bad blood, and I see rippling effect, and I see certain circles of the internet still have take umbrage with this guy, and I think it does in some ways come back to interactions that he has. I mean, I hate to say it, but in some ways, like, it's deserved, but in other ways, I think that some people defend parts of the internet that they respect and that they like, and then when outsiders come in, they're going to be even more fervently against them if they kind of come across having a bad attitude. So I talked to Scott about the episode, the main event with Aubrey Sitterson from Straight Shoot. And what I hadn't realized was that it wasn't just him as a guest on main event. There was actually plans for Straight Shoot to seemingly be more integrated and more involved with Place to Be Nation. I don't know if you mind talking about kind of what was the plans, what happened, why did it fall through? Was it related? Did it all fall through because of this kind of souring in the guest spot or no?
No, it didn't. So what had happened was Aubrey's background is good friends with our friend Ben Morse, who is an absolute fantastic contributor to the site, personal friend, and a guy that I've always enjoyed talking to, and he's done some great stuff for us. And, of course, he's the editor in chief and has some higher titles than that for Marvel.com. So, Adrian, there's your comics tie-in.
Nice.
And so, what had happened was Aubrey's show had been heating up, and so I had gotten like on his press release list. And what had happened was, because actually there was a time that I'm not sure if he has me blocked, but he did follow me for quite some time on Twitter, because Ben had asked me a favor and was like, look, like, he got this interview with Matt Hardy. It was his first like video interview, and so like they're like, you know would you put it on the site? And I was like, yeah, I mean, that's, we're embedding a YouTube thing, you know, like, no big deal. And they could throw it up like on the weekend. So yeah, you're right, if you do a search out there, you'll see maybe there, I think, was there two at most? Definitely wasn't more than two. Occasionally, like, I think recently when he interviewed Cody Rhodes, I was on the email blast that came out for that. So we put it up for Matt Hardy. And then when main event was coming around and Scott and Ben had told me, like, oh, Aubrey's going to be on the show, I was like, oh, this is a pretty cool crossover. I didn't know too much about him other than his background in comics and kind of what he was looking to do. And I was like, oh, this is a fresh voice. You know, like, the wrestling Twitter and the internet world of wrestling is huge. And sometimes there's things like, oh, you listen to, you know, Answering the 10 Count, you had no idea it was associated with us. Or like, sometimes we're all interconnected. And sometimes there's things I'll find, like, you know, pretty decent shows and have no idea they existed. And I don't like to think we're in a bubble. I know we're kind of like a niche of a niche, but there's still – it's such a – like a, it's almost like the universe. You know what I mean? So I thought, you know, this guy's – he's got whole different listeners and stuff. This is awesome that he's going to be on the show because – we'll get this crossover. More people will check out Main Event. It was a big preview. I had Will on. And we'll, you know, it's just, it's great for the site. And unfortunately, you know, it was, you know, just like a, I mean, it kind of, man, how do I even describe? I'm Scott described, you know, kind of went down. It's interesting. I had a little bit like post-trauma, like stress, like afterwards. That was the one thing. And not me personally, not being able to handle it, but that was the one thing actually where we've always been really good and prided ourselves on, like, you know, not mixing it up. We're not out there like aggravating people, or, and it's not that you can't have hot takes or defend your position, but like we played it pretty cool. We always took the high road. Like if something was going on, like we handled it behind closed doors. We didn't like air our dirty laundry, so to speak. But that was the first time where, like, when he got pissed off afterwards, like he went after our site first, like before he got all like in on PWO and riled up, like, you know, the bee's nest of, and then we all group together. It's always neat how everybody can come together for a common goal. You know, our friends at Voices of Wrestling, who we've been friends with since the very beginning, you know, like everybody kind of like woke up to their, like his, you know, his shtick and his attacking on the site. But, and he eventually had taken it down, but he had written like this long thing about like this awful experience he had with these people, you know, whatever. And he had linked us in and named it. And I, you know, I wasn't happy with that. And neither was Justin and Chad. And I felt bad for Ben in that too. But he actually talked to him and kind of let him understand, like, you know, where like Will and more like that hardcore base was coming from there, and that it wasn't, you know, necessarily like reflective of all of us, which is fair. I mean, Will would say that for anybody, right? Like when I speak, I don't say like, you know, this is reflective of, you know, you guys share the same opinions of me. And I don't think that Will was off in that too. I think it was just kind of a combustible thing, but we had kind of been looped in. So he kind of changed his stance. And then he, you know, they picked apart that thread over at PWO about it. And I think Parv had to join Twitter after that. And so, yeah, that was the one thing. That was unfortunate, maybe an opportunity missed. But, you know, Aubrey has his he has his supporters, I guess, still, right? And and his ideas on how wrestling works and how we're being worked and, you know, how you should enjoy different things. And, you know, Will always taught me, you know, anybody can have an opinion as long as you can back it up, you know, in an honest and sincere manner, you know, and being hospitable. And that didn't really kind of work out there. But I think in the end, he kind of and Will wanted to, you know, podcast with him again. You kind of threw it out there, you know, not even to be, you know, at someone, just to talk to someone. I mean, he's a teacher. He knows how to handle that stuff. But yeah, so that was it. Aubrey told me one thing, though, that I remembered. I listened to another one of his shows. I think Ben was on it. And there was the only other one I've listened to was at Aubrey. You know, he has his Patreon, and I don't fault him for it because he was always very big on, you know, I'm not going to do these live reads that depend on you guys going and, you know, putting a code in somewhere else for me to get whatever. It's like, you know, if you like the show, donate to it, whatever. And I thought, you know what? Yeah, I agree with that model. And I think that, you know, and that's not wrong if other sites want to do it. But I mean, how many podcasts can you, you know, listen to that are shilling the same thing, you know, because they're part of like an overarching advertising thing. So I always thought he had the right idea with that. If you're being creative and have the content that deserves that type of money, not doing something that a million other people do for free, which is a whole other conversation.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's funny, but you know, people pick it apart, and the Patreon thing has come back around again. You know, of course, it always does. By the time this is out, it's probably dead, because it's just his Patreon thing comes up, and everyone gets up in arms, and then they forget about it. And it really does seem like our section of the internet and of the internet wrestling community is really kind of some people have a stick up their ass about him, and I can't blame them. I've been at PWG shows. I've seen him there. I'm not friends with him. I've had maybe one or two conversations with him. But yeah, he's into his own thing. He likes what he likes, and that's fine. I'm supposed to be extra nice because, you know, I'm part of Wrestling With Words also. And I've been told, you know, that there's other members of the website that are good friends of his, and they're on his show.
Really?
And stuff like that. Yeah, yeah. So it's
There you go. I did not know that.
Yeah, not that I would say anything bad about him anyways, but I just think it's funny that I've been told, like, you have to be, you know, don't say anything publicly about him, but I wouldn't. And it's so funny because I got told that because my reaction to him in general was what he does is for totally different people.
Right. And that's so just it doesn't,
and he doesn't, like, what he does, what he says, how he does things doesn't matter to me and the group of people who I interact with, the people that I do what I do for, because it's, you know, it's totally different fan bases. And I was then told, you know, well, tech is the same fan base because we get plugged on his show. So I guess Wrestling With Words gets plugs on his show. Once again, I don't know how, I would say I don't know what good that does, because I feel like the kind of people that are watching Straight Shoot aren't necessarily going to care about things that are coming out of Wrestling With Words. That may be unfair, but it's just how I see it. But we kind of started that, I don't know, we kind of started that out talking about things that were supposed to happen. So what other kind of cool things were maybe in the works that you just kind of wish had happened, or maybe even got a pilot or got started but never got off their feet? Is there anything, any shows, any content that was supposed to come out that just never happened?
Yeah, we have, you know, we... Like I talked about kind of creatively when we went into 2014, we came up with the Kevin Kelly Show. And then, you know, just a couple months later, we had started to talk to Steve Corino. And originally, and this should have turned out perfect for what it was. I'm going to preface it and I'm going to reemphasize it in a second. I just want to clarify my comments is originally it was like, okay, Brad, like you co-host with Steve. And then I was like, well, my wife's expecting and we're going to have a baby in a couple months. Like that's going to be a mess. Like I'm not probably too, I don't think I would have done fine, but I didn't think I'd really have like the banter to go with it anyway. And then so Steve Willie was going to do it and he couldn't do it. And then we got Dan to do it. And so, and Dan was fantastic. I couldn't even come close to do a good job as he did with that. I thought he was great. And so, but at a Steve. So we had some pretty good momentum and some pretty good, you know, cachet, I would say, you know, with having both Kevin and Steve shows active on our feed and being promoted through. And so there was a time in that summer, it was probably around like May or June of 2014, where Ben Morse and I, we were having conversations with Christopher Daniels and Frankie Kazarian. They had just left TNA and they wanted to get into the podcasting game. They were, you know, pretty funny in TNA, they're good personalities, you know, you saw their vignettes and whatnot. And so we had a really long conversation, a phone conference call. These guys were driving to a show in California and we set things up and it just didn't work out because they were, you know, they were traveling all around the globe at the time. You know, they were going to start up with Ring of Honor in like a month and they had advertised that for Best in the World 2014, but they were, you know, they were doing shots all over the place. So you talked about like some logistics around like, you know, they would be doing the recording, like maybe in like a hotel room in like Germany or something. And, you know, I gave our normal pitch and Ben helped us get the in there. Cause again, comic books and they're really into that too. And it just never really came around to fruition with them. But I totally got that from a time standpoint. But I thought that would have been pretty cool, like in mid-2014, to have like those three going at one time on the plate.
Yeah, and that would have – you said they're driving to shows in California because they both actually – well, Frankie is from out where I grew up in like, the Coachella Valley area. And Kat – or not Kaz – Daniels lives like in Los Angeles, San Diego. I think San Diego now. So you said they're driving to shows in California, but I thought about it and that was probably because it was before they came out in ROH. That would have been when they were in PWG and I saw them there.
Yeah, that would be it.
Now that I think about it,
I couldn't remember if Daniel showed up there or not beforehand.
Yeah, they did some tag team matches because they were Bad Influence. It was before they had shown up in ROH and changed their name, because I remember they were calling them Bad Influence at the show. So that's really cool. That would have been super awesome, actually, because those guys are great. I mean, Daniels is so awesome, and I'll just tell a quick story. It's like my brush with Daniels. I did see them both at Death Before Dishonored recently, and they were so cool. They're out front before the show selling their comic book and you know, just kind of hustling people saying, you know, the comic book is right on it. It says it's $5, but they're charging $20 because they were signing it. You know, so it's just like right there. You're like, okay, fantastic. You guys are just great, but... My kind of personal brush with Daniels even before that was, I think I made a joke on Twitter talking about that he had switched over to the singlet. And I was like, I don't know why Daniel switched over to the singlet, because he still looks like he's in great shape to me for his age. And he privately, he DM'd me, and he took the time to explain to me that he only switched because he just wanted a change in his look, and it's not anything about his body and this and that. And it was just so funny that he took the time to do that. I was just like, this guy is so nice, so cool, and just really, you know, a lot of wrestlers would see a joke like that and maybe get upset and just block you. You know,
right,
and he took
right.
the time to kind of see, like, oh, this guy's joking around, obviously. He's not being a dick and just saying something mean. So then he's like, you know, here's the actual situation, which I always thought was really cool. So, yeah, I think that those guys would have fit right in on the website. Unfortunately, yeah, it's just how are you going to do it when you're just so busy? And obviously, I talked to Justin about it, and mm-hmm. I'd love to get Dan McGinn on this show, but I just don't even know how to talk to him. I don't know.
Wait, he's hard to get a hold of nowadays. I messaged a little bit with him earlier today. Yeah, no, Dan and the creators and Justin did a nice job of laying out that whole show there. And I actually, one of the like, coolest things with the site was that when we started that show, I was kind of like the executive producer. I was doing the engineering and kind of handling, you know, like bringing Cliff Compton on the line and using my different things like that, while Dan just focused on co-hosting and I was handling the back end stuff. So I had a chance, like the first, like I guess, like 7 or 8 episodes to talk with Steve and whatnot. He's a cool guy, and so but I always caution too, like, my God, weekly is so hard to do every week, you know, and so I just didn't want him to get burned out. And unfortunately, that's what kind of happened. But he had a good run, you know. There's stuff on the site, you can check him out. Had some pretty fun interviews and some pretty big names. You know, we've had some pretty big names overall. I mean, I don't know if you guys have heard, but, you know, AJ Styles, WWE Heavyweight Champion, PlaceToBeNation.com, January 2014 interviews. So, pretty big deal. It's the only WWE champ we've had.
Oh, really? I didn't realize that.
Yeah, he was the second guest on the Kevin Kelly show right after he left TNA. It was a huge get. We were so excited that Kevin had gotten him. He just started with Ring of Honor.
No,
it's a really great interview. Actually, it's really good.
I heard the interview. I just didn't realize he was the only WWE champion who's ever been interviewed on any of the shows. So I guess
it's a pretty small group. I'm trying to think of who else would even be in like.
Yeah, that's true. That's gonna be my next goal. I gotta get a.
I mean, I guess Ivan Koloff counts, right? Ivan Koloff is on Titan, yeah. So he counts.
Oh, there you go. That was on the PWO.
No, it all counts. We're one family. Remember, we won Best Podcasting Network for all of ours, the Sheedy Award last year. So,
which is now defunct.
Well, I hope he brings it back. He's been tweeting more lately. Les has been. So
yeah, that's what we're hoping it comes back. But
hoping it comes back.
Okay, so was that, yeah, so anyways, what I was leading into that was the Carino getting burnt out. Like, it's just so much to try to do a show, even if it was bi-weekly or monthly, it's so tough to get it all done. I know I'm feeling the burn right now. I'm doing like two, I feel like I'm doing too many shows. but, you know, I love it. I really do. So I'm not gonna complain.
Well,
but
you know, I give Pete and you credit and Johnny as well. You know, this week in wrestling, when Pete and I were talking about like the idea there, you know, I didn't think like 3 hours would be doable on a weekly basis for that. You know, I was more of like in like the 1.5 hour like tops range, but he made it work. I mean, and damn if, you know, other than, you know, those obligations when he went to Louisiana, which are, you know, admirable for what they are. I mean, that show is there for you guys every Monday, and it's a great show. And like, it's so distinct and it's different, right? Because everybody recaps wrestling, but I mean, what show does the NWA Classics, and then jumps into, you know, whatever show you guys are doing, and then back into that Raw stuff? But again, Pete and Johnny and yourself, you know, Tim, you've built yourself up to be, you know, a core person of the site and a voice that we've. I mean, when you get to be on Place to Be for a Vintage Vault, you know you've made it, because we do not give those slots out. And you can't just ask and like that happens. So, yeah, I mean, and really that was leveraging like, well, how can we make 3 hours work? Well, people know Pete and Johnny from Titans of Wrestling and the different shows they've done, and they build in that audience, you know, based on, you know, their voices and what they bring to the table. And that's the biggest thing that we can stress and push at this site. I mean, that's really our goal ultimately, is just kind of creating like this. I don't want to get like brand speak, but it's really like those guys We won't be able to like those people. You know, if I don't like them and others don't like them, they're gone. And that's for sure. We, you know, there's been some people we've had to give the boot to. It just doesn't mesh chemistry wise. It's like, why am I going to stress through this if I don't like this person or whatever? So,
yeah, no, I mean, that's it. And I really appreciate, you know, the opportunity that I've gotten. I mean, the stuff with Pete, it took, God, I don't know. It had to have been 6 months or something. And then Pete said something to me. We were talking. I don't even remember the exact conversation, but he essentially said, you know, like, well, it's your show too. And I had spent 6 months essentially thinking that I was a recurring guest, you know? And he said that, and I was like, oh, that's really cool. Like, that's really cool that I'm, you know, being thought of as one of the co-hosts of the show, you know, and that's really awesome because that was kind of, like I said, it was a goal of mine and the way that everything came together. And it's so true. I love the show. I was talking to the Wrestling With Words guys. I was saying, hey, you know, like, I try to listen to the show as a fan, but it's really tough for me to listen to my parts and really know what it is. Like, what do you guys think? What, you know, what do you, about the way it's laid out? Because it does, how many shows really are like that? I would say none, where like it goes from these two guys talking about really in depth with stuff that Pete saw when he was a kid, stuff that, you know, Johnny didn't necessarily has never seen before, but it's guys in style that he's familiar with from his childhood. And then you pop into me and Pete and we're talking about everything from Japan, England to the smallest indies. I mean, we're doing an AAW show. We did that FIP show to begin with, like running all over the place. I'm trying to get him to do even weirder random indie stuff, you know, like Beyond, and which now they're even getting bigger in notice. I've been trying to get him to do Beyond for a while. And also, and then you go right back into the WWE stuff. And it's the perfect world for me because what it comes down to is no one listens to podcasts that aren't, you know, that don't cover WWE wrestling, right? But I can't. So luckily, I get to be on a show that talks about WWE wrestling, but I don't have to talk about WWE wrestling, so
it's
perfect for me.
It's true.
You know, and it just, it works out so well.
And you know what, and with the length, too, is that, I mean, that's what timestamps are for, right? You know, there could be something where, you know, I really enjoyed you guys breaking down a Ring of Honor pay-per-view, but maybe I wasn't as interested, you know, in the Raw segment at the end because I wasn't getting around to listening to the show for like 3 weeks. Do you know what I mean? So, like, you know, that's the good thing with, and even with Between the Sheets too, you know, you can switch around and listen to, you know, whatever promotions you're interested in if you want to. So I think that's what makes it work. I would be interested in what, you know, when you ask those guys for their feedback on how they thought it went, or how they like it. I would just be curious what it is. I will say though that, you know, Pete made it his own, and that's, you know, I think it's great how it is. And you, like, you know, he's going to put the time into it and you're going to put the time into it. I don't see it changing, but I am curious if you got any kind of, like, I'm going to say, like, negative feedback or really any kind of feedback.
No negative at all. Honestly. I mean, the feedback was, like I said, it was tough for me to gauge because I'm not a fan. So I just, in some ways, I was looking for reassurance, but I also really wanted the truth. And it was 100% like, yeah, it's cool because of how different it is. And like, I think people do enjoy that it goes so far. And especially, like you said, Pete being the through line. And I just think he's an underrated, I've said it a bunch of times, I think Pete's really underrated for just what kind of a wrestling mind he has and is. The guy just, like, he can go, he runs the gambit. So when I talk about me and Pete, or me and Johnny doing different parts of the show, what I forget to say is that Pete is on the entire show, you know, so he's watching all of it.
I think he's grown into it, too. Like, you know, yeah. I'll think back, I'll give you an example. I did a show with him, Will, and Johnny. We did a WrestleMania Rewind show for WrestleMania 28. And Pete wasn't following the active product at the time. He was really like that old school, you know, the man of 10,000 discs, right? So, like, he had even said at the time, like, you know, he just doesn't really follow the current product. But and not that that show was like the impetus to it, but like, you know, just kind of getting into more of the stuff. Like, he has a great mind for it. You can listen to Breakdown Anything. He's the best, I would say the best analyzer we have. Just go listen to his work on the Last Battle of Atlanta podcast with the Titans of Wrestling. That it was phenomenal. So it's great that you have him branching out to different things, because he has a great mind with it. And I don't think that was the same until like after Titans of Wrestling started, and he started, you know, in with those guys, and then, you know, and really kind of getting into more of the current stuff. He wasn't always into that stuff.
Yeah, and he brings such a wealth of just the way that he sees things. And I've learned a lot just like reviewing stuff, you know, which is kind of insane. But the fact that I'm getting to, I mean, I picked apart a match and I looked through everything that I could, and I really kind of mulled over it, and then turning around and hearing him go over the exact same match that I can remember, you know, move by move, and then hearing him like with the nuances and talking about other stuff that maybe I missed, just kind of sharpened my kind of IQ when it came to wrestling, and I just really enjoy it. Now, I try really hard not to apply that to when I'm at live wrestling shows, because I want to just enjoy myself, obviously. But I guess we'll take one more quick break, and then this time, for sure, when we come back, we'll get to know Brad, and we'll find out what Brad does when he enjoys himself.
This is Parv, and I'm here to tell you to listen and subscribe to the Pro Wrestling Only Place to Be Nation podcast network. That's the PWO PTBN podcast network, where you'll find a ton of in-depth shows done by hardcore fans. We've got Chris Zellner's 1-2 Punch of Exile on Bad Street, and with David Bickenspan, a smash hit Between the Sheets. We've got Wrestling Culture with Dylan Hales and Dave Musgrave, Goodwill Wrestling and the Reaction Shows with Good Old Will from Texas. We've got This Week in Wrestling with my man Pete and Johnny Sorrow, Stephen Graham and Tim Livingston's Pro Wrestling Super Show, Tag Teams Back Again with Kelly and Marty Sleaze, and a ton of other great shows too. And of course, there's Titans of Wrestling and Where the Big Boys Play with yours truly and some dude from down south called Chad. PWO, PTBN, Podcast Network.
All right, well, we're back, Brad, and I think we're going to have to lightning round, or we're going to have to plan for another episode, because we're really up against it here. So, you know, we want to know so that we know what to talk to you about next time. Because, I mean, we all know that you're very passionate about Place to Be Nation. Sure. I think a lot of people on here know that, you know, you have kids. You even talked about it. You had a kid coming along. And that's why you didn't know if you could do the co-hosting duties as thoroughly as you should with one Mr. Steve Carino. But when you're not dealing with the website or dealing with the kids or obviously dealing with your beautiful wife, what do you do to unwind? What else do you do? I mean, I know you like wrestling. You seem to be a pretty staunch ROH fan, which I really like and respect, just how much you are behind ROH, and you're connected to the company even at this point now with Kevin Kelly and all these other things. And I love ROH too, but I mean, what else is there? Is it mostly wrestling in your free time, or what other hobbies, what other things does Brad do in his off time?
I mean, I would say that I would be somewhat co-opted just based on our experience and my, you know, passion for, you know, what they do too. And it's weird. I always kind of question like why I get sometimes defensive, or like wonder why people attack certain things, and like not take it personally, but take it like, well, they're obviously not, you know, critically thinking through these things or not understanding why business wise, like this is how it works, you know, which is weird. Like I still really haven't been able to reconcile like my attachment to it or why I feel that way. But, you know, if we're not doing the wrestling thing, and thank you for those notes on, you know, following those, and sometimes you can see me posting at PWO. Every once in a while, I can, you know, I'll break out some match analysis and go through. It was actually, I would say, video games is my second hobby, and I have a pretty big retro video game collection. Quite a few systems and stuff going back to the Atari 2600 into the current gen. So I, you know, time is a little bit fleeting now. So it's kind of, you have to make, you know, decisions on what, you know, if you're going to watch something or try to catch up on something before you fall asleep in front of the TV every night. So, I haven't had a lot of time to do that, but that certainly is something that I'm pretty passionate about also.
Okay. See, so that makes me in some ways regret my choice, but also makes me, you know, follow or feel like I made the right choice, because Jordan Duncan offered for me to be on that episode of Rank and File with you talking about video games.
It was so a good show.
You don't even play video games, Tim.
Exactly what I told him. He said he was offering for me to be on Rank and File, and he said the next episode that we're doing is going to be about retro video games top 10 list. I said, I told him that I want to be on the show badly, but I have to be completely honest. I wouldn't know the first thing about the video game, so I would come across an idiot. I could cram, and I could put it together, and I could try really hard to do this, but I would have gotten the show, and you probably would have made me look like even more fool. Twice, I would have looked like an idiot, because I don't know anything about video games. So,
I mean, you could have talked about the time we played Portal, you know.
Could have talked about Portal, but this was supposed to be retro video games. Now, Adrian! Now that you know Brad's into the video games, you got any questions about the retro gaming, the big collection, all that he's got?
Yeah, let's hear it.
What are you currently playing on, Brad? Are you a PC Master Race guy? Are you an Xbox guy? A PS4
guy?
You in
the Master Race stuff. So I'm a PS4, but I tip my cap to that. I back in the 90s, I was like big into like PC. Like, why? How could anybody play? You know, so much better than the consoles. And then kind of as I got older, it was kind of like, well, you know, so it's download different patches and different things like this, and like all the work that came into it is really more like in the console age, like I'd say probably like the Dreamcast on. But I do have a pretty impressive, and it's not a physical collection, but a GOG collection, good old games. And I do have a Steam account, but my laptop is very old, so I'm very limited in what I can play on there. So not a PC. I don't see that happening now with it, but I can certainly like tip my cap to everything that goes into, you know, having it. I mean, you got to have a pretty stout machine to run like the new stuff from there. And that was really what turned me off eventually, was like, man, I really don't want to play like this catch up game with, you know, video cards and different things like that, like every couple years anymore. I just want to put this in and like make sure it works. So
yeah. No, I used to play PC games pretty much exclusively in the late 90s, early 2000s, and I've now in the last like 10 years I've only just owned an Xbox. And I'd like to get a PS4, but my girlfriend would kill me if I do that. So just at the
Well, the holidays are coming out, the big price drop, so they're you could probably down the line. It's a good system.
Yeah.
But that's, I think, what with I hear. It's starting to run into kind of some of those PC things I was coming up with, where, you know, you have there's going to be a PS4 kind of plus that's going to have a little bit more graphical power, but, you know, the one I have can still play all the games, but then it's like, all right, so there's an upgrade after a couple years, and that's expensive if you were to do that. And then they have VR coming out, and I don't know about you, Adrian, I'm not a virtual reality guy. No. I couldn't care less about like that kind of stuff and where that stuff's going. I don't know if it's going to be a fad or not. It's something I have no interest in. Absolutely no interest
that's like
in. So
5 or 10 years down the line before that really hits mainstream, and I've never tried it, but I'd like to try it someday. But I think for now it's just going to be I'm perfectly fine with just playing with the controller. You know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah.
Now, Adrian, here's the trick. Uh-huh. Just buy yourself a PS4 and wrap it up, and then like ship it to yourself, and then tell your girlfriend that your parents bought it for you.
Oh my God!
Tell them it was a gift from Place to Be Nation. That is your for all this podcast you do.
That's a genius idea. Actually, I should actually just do that.
Now make sure she doesn't listen to the podcast ever, which
doesn't.
Won't be hard.
That won't be an issue at all.
Yeah. So then just do that. There's no
tell
way
her it would be really rude for you to not accept that very generous gift.
This is why I keep Tim around. He always can think of a way to get around something. You know what I mean? It's almost amazing that you're not a politician, Tim.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, I'm not just barely obese like Donald Trump, so I can't be a politician. That's the rule. You have to barely fit into those plus size suits. So Brad, like I said, you are obviously a big ROH fan. You like the video games. What other wrestling do you watch? What are you watching lately?
I really haven't watched a lot of it at all. So I think really I think I only watched like the last couple minutes of SummerSlam. So there's some big matches that I'm openly admitting like I need to get back on and watch. So Ring of Honor's one, and then I haven't done a great job of being able to keep up with PWG this year. I've wanted to. So that's been one I've earmarked. Like, I have a pretty good collection of their backlog, and so it's that's a kind of like, you know how you can there's so much wrestling to watch. I try to limit myself. So like, I like ROH, I like PWG, like these ones are mine. And then, you know, I canceled my Chikaratopia subscription because I just wasn't getting around to watch. I think it's awesome service. If anybody has even a remote interest in them, it's a fantastic deal. And since I canceled, it's gotten even better. I mean, I think they show stuff like a month delay on there. So it's really good. I just didn't really have the time for it. But I think in those, it kind of shows that, you know, you said something earlier, Tim, you know, you kind of like what you like. And I can certainly appreciate like the good natured, like while I like, you know, I guess, you know, hardcore in the sense of like, you know, we're watching the last battle of Atlanta and this blood feud and stuff, but I can also like really appreciate and find a lot of enjoyment out of watching like Chikara and like the stories they tell there and the comedy that's mixed into it. And, you know, have a blast like diving into that and getting lost on YouTube for a couple hours. So I like to think that I can kind of go into any genre, anything that you and P cover, and kind of be able to put like that lens where you're not like bringing those old WWE stereotypes with you. Too, and you can kind of go in with an open mind and try to understand what they're trying to accomplish in the match and the things you know about it and if you enjoyed it and what they're trying to do. And so, so I'd say it would be pretty much those. And then today it was going down like a Matt Riddle rabbit hole. Where, like, yes. I feel like Matt Riddle is, this is like, we're going to have to cut this and do whatever else, but I feel like he's like one of the few, maybe the only one where it's like, oh my gosh, this Matt Riddle match is on YouTube. Like, it's almost like he's such like an attraction because he's so good that like the chance to see him, because he's not like on any type of regular promotion or whatever, is like a really big deal, which is a weird thing to think of as like an adult that could buy whatever he wanted. Like, I could buy every Evolve show, but like just kind of getting glimpses of him and like seeing it work is like, and kind of, you know, being impressed or whatever. So
yeah, he is something special. Got to see him live for the first time over Bola weekend, and I thought that I loved him before I saw him in person, and then he came out, and I saw him selling shirts around the ring, and I bought a shirt from him, and he was just a guy, and then he came out, and he was in the ring, and I couldn't control myself, and I audibly shouted, "He's a golden angel sent down from heaven."
When I saw his face,
nice. I hope so, because there's something about him when he's in the ring. He's a miraculous human being. So I definitely appreciate loving Matt Riddle. And if you haven't seen his match with Dalton Castle I think it's like one of his first 20 matches, it's fantastic as well. A little scene one that a lot of people haven't seen yet.
What promotion was that in?
It was like Keystone Pro Wrestling somewhere.
Yeah, I was going to say, okay.
Yeah, it's a really small one. Well, Brad, I think you knew this was coming because, you know, you listen to the show and you post the show on the internet to begin with. What is something that people who only know you from the Brad and Chad show, which we didn't even get into, I wanted to talk about that. what is something Chad that... show. If they only knew you from the Brad and Chad show or from the internet or from Twitter or from PW, what would be something that would shock them or surprise them about Brad?
Yeah, let me think about that. So I do have an idea. So the Brad and Chad shows will always say, this is the company line, is that was really the template to what we did with Kevin Kelly then. We were experimenting with formats and different interludes and how we go in and out. And so, like Justin said it before on the Kevin Kelly show, is eventually that's what it became. But it just didn't work out time-wise. We had some pretty good ideas with it. Chad and I, we're pretty good chemistry on there. But I would say that prior to – things you don't know about me is I would say prior to Place to Be Nation is I was a pretty regular writer about sports video games, and you can find them at retrowaretv.com and also snackbargames.com. So prior to switching over to the wrestling thing and kind of just running with it, was I had you know, quite a few articles written. I was on two different sites, and then it moved to the Retroware one. And it just happened to be that, you know, it's funny, interesting story is those guys, the guys that run that site, and it's very successful in the videos that they've done and the DVDs they've made. They actually both worked in the same building with Scott and Justin and knew both of them personally. So like when I went over, it was kind of like Scott would be like, oh, you know, you got Brad from you guys, you know. They had had like something where their site got crashed and it went down and we lost a lot of stuff. And so it was like we're out of commission for a couple weeks. And it just happened to be like, well, this probably works out well because I'm going to be starting this new website anyway. And then I kind of switched gigs on it. So, yeah, I would say that you can find some unique – I would say that probably has some kind of wrestling snarky – that's old Brad type of writing into sports video games. And that's out there on the World Wide Web.
Oh, that is interesting because I would have had an idea. Well, Brad, it's been a pleasure. And once again, guys. I barely even hit on the Brad and Chad show at the end, and there's so much more stuff to talk about still.
I'll be back for this four-part shoot series.
Yes, exactly. I also meant to even say earlier, we were talking about the Carino show. One of the things that they used to do on there was the What If game that they used to play. Dan McGinn and Carino were so great. I got to get Dan McGinn on this show.
We're going to find Dan. I'll get a hold of Dan.
So Brad, I don't know if there's anything else to plug. I mean, Place to Be Nation, the website, the podcast feed that you're listening to this on. What else?
I have just recently launched a new series on the PTBN Pop feed. It's called PTBN Play, and it runs right into that gaming type of thing. But instead of being strictly video games, we came up with kind of a hybrid approach to how the show is going to work. And where there's four hosts, but it doesn't necessarily mean we're always going to be on the same show. It could just be me and a guest. It could be just the other three of them. They're actually, in fact, recording a show tonight and it's all about all kinds of gaming. So it goes into board gaming, tabletop, you know, those kind of designer tabletop games, dice games, card games, video games. And so that's going to kind of be a weekly thing. We've got a couple episodes in the queue there, and that's going to be on the Pop feed also. I was always kind of hesitant to jump into gaming with Place to Be Nation because it's so many places elsewhere. But I felt like, you know, again, we've built up our rapport and we've got this feed and it's something that we're all passionate about. We should, you know, translate that into content. So that's going to be, there's probably – yeah, so that's out right now. And you can go and find that again on PlaceToBeNation.com. And that's – other than that, I'm also going to be a part of – or I am a part of the Match of the Week Club. Timothy, you may find yourself in this too. We're still kind of experimenting with it. It's kind of where Chad picks one fairly recent match within the last week or so, and we kind of give our instant reaction. But we're not talking WWE. We're doing like what you guys do, and we are running the gamut. And so far out is we did the – the Anniversario CMLL main event mask versus mask match. And I'm not sure what we're going to also have out probably before this drops, but you can find that every Friday on PlaceToBeNation.com. And we're kind of bringing in some other new talent to kind of shed some lights here. So you'll start to see, and that's one thing we've tried to do over the last couple of years too, is to bring in new people. And we kind of earmark them if we know they're good and like we like who they are as a person. And we think they're pretty talented and people want to listen to them or read them. I mean, we recruit pretty hard. So I think that's going to be pretty cool. But those are probably be my two big plugs. But I definitely want to thank you guys for your continued work and kind of helping buoy the PTBN Pop feed with your content every week.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brad. Adrian, anything else you want to get out there?
No, just follow us on Twitter at Lucha Undead, obviously, and follow me at Della Boots. I've been releasing some silly videos lately, trying to get the word out, so that's pretty much it.
Oh, yeah, there's going to be the shot videos. Those are going to start coming out more frequently, I think. I'm going to work on them. I have a shitty camera. I have shitty tech. All of my tech kind of sucks.
Use your smartphone.
I need to upgrade.
That's all you need.
My phone's camera is garbage. I need to upgrade everything very, very soon. But what I do have is I just wrote, and this kind of plays into talking to Brad, I just wrote a review for the most recent ROH TV on Wrestling With Words. So, you know, if you're into reading reviews about ROH TV, there's mine is out there. It's probably gone because the website is down right now. And the website's coming back. So Wrestling With Words revamp, new launch is coming out pretty soon. Pretty exciting. It's going to look good. It's going to have a lot more interesting stuff. The website's going to now have a mothership podcast, which is going to be interesting. I've also got This Week in Wrestling coming out, which I already talked about on the other feed, the PWO feed. We're going to be talking about AAW. It seems like we're going to settle into, with Lucha Underground being kind of running longer, we're going to settle into a format where we're going to be doing CWF Mid-Atlantic, Lucha Underground, nice. And then one, like, big show. And the big show we're doing this week is the most recent AAW that's out, Zero Mero, with Pentagon Jr. And it's a great show with a lot of really fantastic matches, so you get to hear me and Pete gush about good matches. And if you're not someone who only likes hearing people talk about wrestling that they enjoy, luckily enough, this show also has Colt Cabana. So I can guarantee that me and Pete will be giving Colt Cabana plenty of shit. So I would definitely recommend listening to that. There is also a somewhat new, possibly existent show called Survey Says on the PWO-PTBN network that I listened to the pilot episode, and it's fantastic, so I recommend that everyone go out and listen to it, and then tell Brad, who I have on the line right now, how much you enjoy the show, so he picks it up for more episodes.
Yes, we have picked it up, a little inside baseball. Those guys are great. Tim Capel is another comics crossover guy there, Adrian. We have quite a few guys that are really, really smart with comics and really good with wrestling too, and that's another micro niche of ours. But yeah, it's a great show, and actually they talk in there about it, like, you know, if I'm going to pick it up or not. But actually, it was they recorded it in advance of pitching it to me, which is that's the way you want to come prepared. You record the show already and then write the pitch out and do all the editing. And it's like, okay. And so we don't take everybody. Man, I couldn't tell you, Tim, like how many things I've shut down or had to say no to, or, you know, how many bad podcasts I had to send to Chad and be like, oh, Chad's in charge of listening to the tryout podcast. I do delegate. I'm a good delegator. I don't put it all on my shoulders. That's a good show, though, and I'm glad you plugged in. It's going to be back. I'm hoping we can even do a little bit more than monthly. That was really it's a great supplement to Where the Big Boys Play. That's and Letters with Kayfabe, which is another one I'm going to plug right now, which is Parv and Allen's supplement to the Place to Be podcast. You know, not reviewing the traditional chronological shows, but kind of hitting the minutiae in between and some of the fun things that you forget. And I think they're both going to be great for that. And those are awesome things to add on here in year four as we close 2016 and move into 2017 with quite the stout roster over at Place to Be Nation. So,
yeah, it's fantastic. Everyone, it is the place to be at this point. So
it is. Well,
thank you very much, Brad. I guess, once again, I have all my stuff prepared for the other show now, and I don't have stuff that I feel comfortable saying for this show. So I'll just close it out because it still kind of fits. The most important thing in life, everyone, is the three B's. Good beers, good buds, and good banter. Good night.